Hello and happy Monday, and welcome to Live with South Florida Opinion Live with the Sun Sentinel Editorial Board. I'm Rosemary O'Hara, the editorial page editor, joined today by Deputy Alana Sims and Andrew Abramson. This is our weekly chance to talk about the news from a South Florida point of view. And today we also, so we come to you on Facebook Live every noon at every Monday at noon. And we also today are starting a new podcast. So you can find South Florida Opinion Live podcast by visiting sunsentinel.com/podcasts or by searching South Florida Opinion in Apple's podcast directory.
With all that Yay. South Florida traffic, you can listen to us in the car. What better than that?
That's right.
What else are you going to grow?
Stuck in traffic. So happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday.
How was your weekend?
I waited for the cable guy this weekend, DirecTV. Can I call that out? Oh my gosh, the window that they give you, the 4-hour window, it's terrible. I know people can relate to this. It was 4 to 8. The guy came at 8:19 at night on a Saturday.
Oh no.
It's like they're just asking you to cut the cord. Everyone's starting to do it anyway.
Oh,
it's like they're begging you to do it.
Just what are you going to do on a Saturday? Just stay at home and wait for the cable guy. It was not fun. It was not fun.
And this is the danger of when one industry just has one or two players, is that they control the market.
I'm telling you.
You know, they can have terrible customer service. They can charge you whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, the way the laws are written, it's you either take it or leave it.
And you've cut the cord, right? You've gone.
Yes, I have. I do everything with apps, Apple TV, through the internet. It's mm-hmm. great. Save so much money, and it feels good to not be giving my money to those giant corporations, because they had it for so long. They had a monopoly. They treated people poorly. They didn't show up, and you know what? There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk about what's in the news.
Okay. We're starting and we're flipping. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm turning over our timer right now. Well, while the nation's attention has been turned to hearings, FBI hearings with Comey and with Jeff Sessions and with Cuba policy changes, some healthcare stuff has been going on behind the scenes and behind closed doors. 12 male Republican senators are working on the very unpopular American Healthcare Act, healthcare bill, which is a revision to Obamacare. And Marco Rubio, our own Marco Rubio, who has been mum on some issues that we wish he would have spoken out about, actually piped up this weekend and said, the Senate needs to slow down on this issue. His direct quote was, the Senate is not a place where you can cook something up behind closed doors and rush it for a vote. So the first step in this may be crafted among a small group, but then everyone's going to weigh in. And so Mitch McConnell, who's kind of steering the ship on this, he says that he's been too busy to meet with the health organizations that are opposing this.
And yet he's planning he wants to have a vote, like, by July 4th.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to fly. I mean, I think Americans are onto it right now. I think even the opinion has even changed from 8 years ago when you saw the Tea Party rise, partly as, you know, people upset about Obamacare. I think people are onto it. I think a lot of people are aware that 20 million are going to lose coverage. And I think some of the moderate Republicans, there's not many of them left on either side, moderates, but I think some of those moderates are not going to let a really bad deal go through. At least that's what I think. I mean, look, I think in the long run, we're going to eventually have single payer. I think that's
well,
the direction
really
we're headed.
I was really glad to see Marco Rubio speak up. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, let's recall, he wouldn't do town halls
after the
House passed its version of the Health Care Act. He doesn't want to meet with people who show up at his office and want to talk about health care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Florida has one of the highest participations in the health care exchange. Mm-hmm. Look, it's not that we don't need some changes in this law. But let's also acknowledge that we've done some things, Congress has done some things to undermine the success of the nation's health care law. So let's fix what needs fixing, mm-hmm. but don't take coverage away from 24 million people.
Right.
And really, I'm offended that not a single woman is on Mitch McConnell's group, which is going to dictate health care.
You know,
women are more than... You know, we get paid less, we're not represented, mm-hmm. we're not at the table when mm-hmm. decisions affecting our health are made. It's offensive.
It is offensive.
But I think, you know, I want to say one more thing about it. People are onto it. I'm telling you. They're not going to pass something that 20 million people are going to lose.
24.
24. I mean, you know, the midterms, that's going to be a huge issue in the 2018 midterms for politics alone. I'd be shocked if it happens.
Well, and the polls show that there's not public support for this. But you know what? There wasn't. The polls showed that before the House voted too.
Right.
And that they wanted.
But the Senate is supposed to be a little slightly more responsible one generally.
And yet they don't want to have any committee hearings on this bill. Right. Outrageous.
Ridiculous.
All right, slow it down. Speaking
slow it
of...
down. Slow it down.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so speaking of government that thinks it knows best, our Florida House Speaker Richard Corcoran over the weekend was quoted as saying that Florida legislators know better what's best for all of us in Florida than do those local leaders at the city and county level. He said that state lawmakers are less susceptible to special interest influence, that at a local level you only have to win over 7 or 9 people as compared to the Florida House where there's 120 or the Florida Senate where there's 40 members. He said, our founders got it right. When they set up the Constitution, they basically said the federal government exists for these powers and everything else is left for the states. Every bit of it. Well, let me call the roll call on how well state government understands South Florida. They have banned us from banning styrofoam or banning plastic bags. They have banned us from banning pit bulls. They have banned us from requiring restaurants tell us how much calories are in their food. They have banned us from banning exotic pets in our homes. They have banned us from regulating backyard gun ranges. Now think about that. You know, maybe in a rural area of Florida, having a gun range in your backyard makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you know, if it doesn't harm your next door neighbor, who cares? But in urban South Florida, right, if somebody set up a gun range in the townhome patio next door, guess who's going to be affected?
Right. Case in point, 4th of July, not everybody who has a gun is responsible. You have people shooting guns up in the air, people are hurt. It's an opportunity for people to get hurt.
Right.
I know a solution. We just need a separate state. South Florida should be its own state.
I've always advocated that South Florida is a separate state.
But, you know, he's just from north of Tampa in Pasco County.
No, I'm talking Southeast Florida. It's just different from the rest of the state. And Tallahassee does not speak for Southeast Florida.
And
most
yet
of the time.
They think that, you know, they know better than we do. I'd really be curious to know really how much Richard Corcoran knows about the attitudes of people in Broward County and how well he really thinks he's reflecting the values. Because there are a lot of people down here who don't agree with him and don't agree with what he just did and taking money away from our traditional public schools. And
well, that's the other thing. I don't think Richard Corcoran should be going around at all right now saying anything great in Tallahassee after that disgusting session we just saw everything done behind closed doors.
Right.
And for him to go around touting state government right now is a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
All right.
New topic.
I'm going to talk about, now we're going to go more local, to county politics. And on Thursday, the Charter Review Commission, which meets every 10 years, is looking for public input Thursday night. They're talking a lot of issues. We talked about it last week about the county mayor, the idea of Broward having a real political leader. That's kind of the hottest topic, and it's something we have supported and continue to support. But there's other issues, too, that they're talking about. The idea of commissioners possibly being elected countywide, that's something I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. I think that you should be able to elect a commissioner within your own neighborhood. They're talking about having a public safety council to oversee 911. I think that's interesting. Expanding the role of the county's inspector general, I always support that. And more funding for affordable housing and initiatives to combat homelessness. So a lot of good ideas there, but they want the public input. And I think the hottest thing is going to be whether Broward County should have a mayor, a real mayor.
Right, right. Well, and the reason that we've supported it is because Broward needs somebody who has the bully pulpit, who can stand up for us. Right now, if you think about who do you go to in Broward, is it the person who's who rotates through the seat every year. Most people don't know the name of Barbara Sharif, who holds the seat this year. Most people go to the mayor of Fort Lauderdale, think the mayor of Fort Lauderdale speaks for Broward. And if we had a stronger voice to speak up for Broward, maybe some of this bad stuff that's happening at the state level, at least we'd have somebody, a fighter in there fighting for us. I don't, you know, in terms of single member districts, you know, whether there were one or two that were elected countywide, it would actually be a great thing if more members of the county commission were able to take off the hat of their local district.
A couple of
put on the hat.
Right, a couple.
Of the greater good.
But I do think that there's something to be said for at least some of the districts
you're
electing people. Yeah.
Absolutely, there ought to be.
Right.
But the problem with everybody being in a single member district and there not being a mayor elected countywide, right now no one is elected countywide.
Right. I think
so there's nobody who can rise above the parochial interests. I mean, I'm overstating. It's, you know, certainly they try,
but they
give in to each other. If you represent that area, and it's, you know, it's like I cede to you. Sometimes somebody needs to stand up and say, you know what? Even if it's right for your district, it's not good for the county.
An overall voice, someone who can represent everyone collectively.
Right, but I think as long, you know, if you actually put a strong mayor in there, that would be a good start. At least have a countywide, a top person elected, because right now the county administrator kind of runs the city, and that person's not elected. And I think you need somebody on top who everyone elects in the county.
Well, yeah, right. I agree. Mm-hmm. Oh. I agree.
Okay.
I think you're going to talk about some civics, right?
Oh. Yes.
You know, speaking of not everybody knowing who the county mayor is of Broward County, or probably a lot of people don't know who Richard Corcoran is, even though he's had a significant impact on our lives. There has been an effort in Florida to help people understand who is leading us, who is our governor, who's our lieutenant governor, who, you know, I taught a class at the University of Florida a few years ago, and I remember asking the students, can you name three members of the U.S. Supreme Court? None of them knew it. I asked them, can you name the three judges on American Idol? They all knew the three judges on American Idol. And it goes to the point that people today have tuned out, or they don't, kids coming out of school don't know enough about how a bill becomes law, how democracy works. And in order for democracy to work, citizens have to be informed
and engaged.
And make good choices, you know? So an effort was started in 2007 to fund civics classes, and apparently it was having some impact. So what happened by the legislature that knows best? I shouldn't put this on the legislature. The governor Rick Scott, vetoed the money for civics classes.
Maybe they don't want students knowing how civics works. Maybe they want to keep them in the dark.
Yeah. How do you hold government accountable if you don't know who government is?
Yeah.
I know Alana was talking about how, you know, you think testing has been a big part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
When I was in high school years ago, X years ago, you know, we had Interact, which was a volunteerism and civics engagement club. We had civics club. And this was an opportunity for us to learn about our government and also do role playing, mock trials, you know, so we could get engaged in that process. And I kind of think that teaching toward the test has kind of pushed out the opportunity
100%.
And the time that students have to invest in those extracurricular activities that are also an educational opportunity for these kids.
Yeah, no, I think the testing's been a huge problem. But I also wonder, too, a lot of people are disgusted by politics right now. I wonder if parents, you know, how many of them are out there encouraging their kids to actually learn about how government works, or if too many of the parents saying, oh, politics is disgusting, turning it off. So, you know, it's kind of a
societal politics are just so divisive, and, you know, people are so angry, and but knowing what's happening and understanding your role is so important.
It is.
So we're going to support Governor Graham in his push to undo this terrible wrong and to have civics in classes. And, you know, I mean, one of the other issues is when you talk about civics and getting squeezed out of public schools, It's because the legislature keeps putting all these mandates
That's
on the
true.
Public
mm-hmm.
schools, but they don't put any of these mandates on the charter schools.
Charters.
And so then we have Richard Corcoran calling our public schools
failure factories,
while he orchestrates his big achievement in the legislature was finding a way to get a second revenue stream to charter schools, which are mostly run by for-profit management companies. And no, we're privatizing education. We privatize prisons. You know, it's privatizing children's health services. If it's the right way to go, let at least people know how it all works and hold you accountable.
We have a question asking why we're not talking about Cuba today. And we did talk about it last week, kind of in anticipation. Mm-hmm. We knew what was coming. You know, I'll say one thing on Cuba. Actually, you know, I don't like going in the reverse direction. We talked about that last week. But, you know, if you look, it really wasn't that strong. I mean, what are the changes being made? The travel, which I think is a mistake. But they're talking about, you know, making it a little tougher to travel. But really, Trump didn't change that much. He kind of spoke strongly, I think, to get some support in the Cuban community. But he also didn't change too much. The embassy is still going to be there.
Right.
You're still going to have flights there. Not much has changed because I think he recognizes that it would be bad for business. So I actually thought it was going to be a lot worse.
Well, it could have been worse. Yeah. At least he didn't undo the reversal of wet foot, dry foot.
That too, yeah.
You know, glad that that's not back as policy. But in terms of the travel, you know, and allowing Americans to have face-to-face, people-to-people visits with people who are Cuban, I'm disappointed because now we have to go through these tour groups. Well, you know who staffs those tour groups? Are you going to tell me that the Cuban government doesn't have a role in training these tourist operators? Mm-hmm. At least when you could go on your own and have, you know, conversations with people who weren't served up to you, at least you felt like you could have a, you know, an opportunity
to
talk.
Right. As
and my
to,
other issue yeah. is that, you know, he's doing this because of the human rights violations in Cuba.
Saudi
and
Arabia.
nobody likes that the ladies in white, you know, are stopped from having their weekly marches or that people are in prison. Absolutely terrible. But has not engaging them made a difference? And how many countries right now are we engaging who have terrible human rights records? What about Saudi Arabia? What about China?
Dictarian,
you know,
Philippines,
even Vietnam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So except for Cuba, you know, the human rights is something we don't really care about on the world stage anymore. We're backing down from that, Rex Tillerson says. But on Cuba, it's the main reason that we're changing our policy. Mm-hmm. There's no consistency in
it's
that.
It's been hypocritical for years, our policy with Cuba, because there's very influential Cuban-American politicians right here in Florida, a huge swing state.
Right.
And, you know, I feel bad for the Cuban people because they're the ones who, you know, the policy keeps changing and they're kind of waiting there, seeing what happens. And they want Americans to come. They want to understand Americans. They think it's better for them as a people. And
well, it created entrepreneurs.
Right.
You know, the people who were getting their houses ready for Airbnb or the Paladares, is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
The restaurants, the private, you know, so it was creating this entrepreneurial spirit. Now, by saying you got to go through these tour operators, you know, puts the thumb on that. But I'm also glad he didn't end the air flights and
could
the
have
cruises.
Been a lot worse.
Yeah,
well,
it could have been worse.
Parting thoughts.
Parting thoughts.
I will lead off here. And I'm really looking forward to the special election in Georgia on Tuesday. You have Democrat John Ossoff going up against Karen Handel. And why it's so interesting is this is a seat used to belong to Newt Gingrich, a very Republican seat. And I think this could end up turning into a lot of what we saw in 2010 reverse, where you had a Massachusetts special election and you saw the Republican Scott Brown upset the Democrat, and it kind of led us into the midterms and it kind of previewed of what was to come. So I think that if Ossoff wins this election, I think it is gonna kind of preview and say a lot of where we're heading in the midterms, where you could see a lot of Democratic gains. So very interesting national implications in Tuesday's election.
Okay. My parting thought, this past Saturday was the 2-year anniversary of the 9 worshipers who were gunned down at Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina. Excuse me. But a wonderful thing has kind of cropped up from that. The designer of the 9/11 memorial in New York has been chosen to do a memorial for this group of people in South Carolina. And I think it must be a wonderful source of pride for the families who were affected to have a memorial created by someone who created a national memorial, you know, for the 9/11 victims. And I'm just happy that it's getting done for these worshipers. I think it's a great honor.
It is. That's exciting news. Mm-hmm. Well, my parting shot was it was just a great day for Florida sports yesterday. We had a U.S. Open winner in golf. Right from Boca Raton, right?
West Palm Beach, West Cardinal Palm Beach. Newman, hi. Yeah. I actually covered him a decade ago in high school sports.
Really?
He was Palm Beach County Golfer of the Year. Oh, so that was really cool to see somebody from back then.
Koepka, Bruce Koepka.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so congratulations to our new star on the golf stage, which kind of offsets the fading star who on the golf stage, you know, who got arrested there a couple weeks ago. So a new... A new wave of golfers, and the Florida, if I can say, Florida is in the Baseball World Series.
All right, College World Series, go Gators.
Go Florida.
Go Gators.
Yeah, yeah. So, there you go. So, thanks for tuning in. Happy Monday. Look for us every Monday here at noon on South Florida Opinion Live. And be sure to check out our podcast. If you can't watch, sunsentinel.com/podcasts. Or in the Apple's podcast directory, look for South Florida Opinion, and we will see you next Monday. Have a good week.